Hello guys, to the 10th episode of Korea Startup Podcast. Today we invited Sara Filomena. Sara used to be a professional dancer, but decided to switch her whole career to move to Korea and become an entrepreneur. Here in Korea, she founded a 3D studio that creates virtual spaces for brands. Her studio is called VSLB. In this episode, we are going to get inspired by the story of Sara, who is the clear example on how creativity and business go hand by hand. We are going to also understand the power of virtual reality and virtual spaces in marketing, as well as its future applications in the metaverse. I really hope you get inspired by her as much as we did, and you enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to the 10th episode of Korea Startup Podcast. Today we have an amazing guest for our 10th episode. It's really special. Sara, hello.
Hi.
Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
And we also have our co-host, like always, Phoenix.
Yep. Hi, everyone.
And today we are going to talk about many things. It's going to be a really interesting and inspirational episode. So we would like to start talking a bit about your background. What did you study? What did you work on before? You can do an introduction.
Yeah, sure. So I used to be a ballet dancer before I moved to Korea. I think until 2016. And I have a Bachelor of Arts, and I studied dance, and I pursued this dream for all my life, and was able to live it for 6 years. And then I took a break, and I came to Korea because my mom is Korean, and my sister really encouraged me to come here, live with her. So yeah, I took a break from dancing and then came to Korea and basically didn't leave until today.
And your family has a really artistic background, right?
Yes.
In general, was it that what motivated you to study dance and arts, or it was something that came from you alone?
My parents are musicians, and music. I really grew up with music a lot in my household, and so I felt always so inspired and moved by music. And so I started pursuing dance when I was really early, and I really loved it. So I continued, even though it was a very tough journey, you know, to get there, to finally be on stage. It's years of training. Mm-hmm. But I made it. And that was really my passion for a long time.
We also saw that you have been performing in more than 18 countries. Was that like, how is that? How cool is that to be in so many countries with so many different people? Like, how does it feel?
Well, it was very multicultural, obviously. Like the team that I worked with, actually, they were from many different countries. They were from all over the world back then when I was a dancer. And so we spoke English all the time, even though we were, you know, based in Germany. And it was very nice because it somehow I could experience from the start of studying dance a very cross-cultural environment, you know, multicultural environment, which was very nice. And I think that kind of opened me also up for the desire to come to Korea as well, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when was the moment in which you decided to shift your career and leave the dancing career and go more into the entrepreneurial world?
So that was actually shortly after I came to Korea. I met my partner, my now husband, who's also my co-founder. Giacomo, he's from Italy. We met here, and my sister was very entrepreneurial. I mean, she's very entrepreneurial, and basically because my co-founder, my husband, he mm-hmm. has this very amazing talent for 3D visualization, and then who also worked here as an architect before. Basically, what happened is that we thought, oh, why don't we try to open a company for architectural visualization? And then my sister encouraged us to do it, and we pitched to Seoul Global Startup Center back then. Mm-hmm. And that's how our journey started. But then we quickly shifted in the advertising industry. I think we were only registered for like 1 week, and then we got our first advertising project.
Wow.
Well, yeah. But I think it's really difficult to shift from like ballets and all artistic into entrepreneurship. Also, you did it for a long time. So how did you do it? Like to choose to stop and then move to another one?
I think some opportunities came, and I saw these opportunities, and I had no idea of what I was getting mm-hmm. into. I think not knowing is also quite good sometimes, because you blend out everything, all your worries, and you just go for it. I remember I was quite overwhelmed, actually. Back then I thought, oh, it was amazing, but it was such a special time, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I had to, of course, just jump on it and learn all the things. I just had to learn about law and contracts and how to price what we're doing, you know. Obviously, we didn't price how we price now, for mm-hmm. example, but then also... how do we, you know, what's the brand? What are all these things that flow into starting a business? I had no clue what I was doing. And I just, you know, just tried and tried to figure it out. And I think that was the best learning journey until now.
Yeah, and I think that's really important because many entrepreneurs have this barrier of, I'm not going to be good at this, I don't know mm-hmm. how to do this, and they never start because they are studying and studying. You can always study more. So also, were you afraid of starting this? Mm. How was the journey? Were you sometimes insecure about it, thinking about leaving or dropping out?
Well, overall, I am super grateful for this journey because it opened me, it gave me the opportunity to get into a new career, which is also not easy for ballet dancers or artists in general to just leave their profession because you identify so much with it. You know, you are this dancer and you dedicate your life to it. And so that transition was very challenging physically, of course, also mentally. But then, I think you just start coping with, you know, things that are thrown at you, that life throws you at you. I feel like this whole last 6 years have been like, or last, you know, few years that we're in VSLB have been just like a whirlwind. It has been challenging at times, you know, because also as soon as you hire people and as soon as you have more responsibilities, you carry a team, you have expenses, you know, you have your clients that you know, have to keep delivering very excellent work. And, you know, it takes a lot of stamina to keep up the good work. And, and then, of course, you know, things can also go wrong. So how to deal with those moments that are not always easy and flowing is also definitely a learning journey. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And did you have any mentor or maybe your husband knew more about this environment that could guide you a little bit more? Were you more alone? How was that?
So my husband, he's this amazing artist. I love his work. He has this amazing sense of aesthetics and he brings that from architecture into the real world, into the virtual world, sorry. and I am taking care of the business. So that's my role in terms of he's the creative side and he leads our creative team. And I'm, you know, doing all the business development and the marketing and the sales and the contracts and operations. So that's
impressive. That's a real shift on your
career. It's a huge shift, yeah. Wow. But I love it actually.
but
it's very exciting.
Before continuing this question, like when you were a child, did you also have this passion for entrepreneurship or like business world? It didn't even cross your mind.
Never crossed my mind because I. I didn't grow up in that environment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my sister, my oldest sister is an opera singer. My middle sister, she's also in business and has her own company. And I think she was always the one who was very entrepreneurial and she had a lot of ideas from a young age. But I had never thought that I would, you know, start thinking and creatively in that way.
Wow. And how exciting was that process of discovering this new talent or this new passion? Was it something that since you started, you said, okay, this is also something that I love, or was something more gradual?
It was something definitely more gradual because, it was such a huge learning journey for me. I really had to study and inform myself a lot, you know, about different things. And I still do it all the time and then I apply it. But I just loved the discovery of my potential, I think, in a different area that I had no idea of, you know. And I think that was something I still look back and I feel like, wow, this is kind of cool that, you know, Korea actually gave this to me. Uh-huh. Korea and then the people who I met here.
We're going to go now for like the Korea experience. Mm-hmm. But before, I would like to know, what is your purpose, your personal purpose, and also how does it connect to your company?
Yeah. I think that art has such a big impact on people. I mean, when I used to be on stage, you know, I traveled the world, and just the feeling you get from the audience once you've performed something, it's not about you, it's more about what you give to the audience. And, you know, an artistic performance, an artistic experience, whether that is in a museum or music or concert or dance performance, I think it has such a huge impact on people. Mm-hmm. And it's culturally very relevant, I think, you know, to so many different cultures. And so I think my purpose now is to bring that sense of impact of art into business. Mm-hmm. And that impact of creativity into business, into the business world, to create more possibilities. And also with the artwork that we create, that it's less about advertising, but it's more about giving a feeling to the people that they can resonate with and that they feel a deeper connection.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I guess that's how you connect your past life with your current life. Right.
Yes.
Now.
And that was kind of a recent discovery too, where I felt like, wow, this is how, you know, finally I'm bringing these two lives mm-hmm. together, because I think in this whole transition, also personally, I was a bit separating myself from my past self to my okay. self now. And then I realized, no, but this is both my entire journey. And I take something from that time into my business or into the things I do now.
And what made you realize this? Was something specific, or you were just in the bed and you just, maybe this had some sense with what I was doing?
Well, I think I self-reflect a lot. You know, I think that also entrepreneurship is such a journey of self-reflection. And I think you learn a lot about yourself, and you have to guide yourself constantly. And I think that this just came to me, uh-huh. you know, over the last
I think connected what you were mentioning now, like bringing this artistic side to the business world, especially in the advertisement. Yeah. I think it's even more important than ever. We are constantly bombarded by so many information, so many content, new things. So do you believe that brands, the only way for brands to differentiate from other brands will be having this artistic and more personal side?
I think it's going to be a big factor to move forward in this capitalistic world, I think, mm-hmm. because a lot of, not everybody has the same perception, of course, of thinking so deeply about art or something, but I think there is something that you as a brand can aesthetically do to inspire your audience on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. And I think it is more important for the brands, but also, you know, for people maybe. And I think that younger generations now, they also have a shift in their values. You know, they grow up very differently from maybe my generation. Also, I mean, I'm a Gen Z, but then MZs, you know, are slightly still different. And they're very, I would say, they have a drive for self-actualization. They're, I think, individualistic, and they grew up with so many possibilities, so many options, and already they have a bigger sense of the digital era than we do. I think I grew up with only TV at home, and then all of a sudden we have all this immersive mm-hmm. technology around us. So I think it will be more important to stand out and to give more valuable moments to people. Mm-hmm.
And how were your first days or after you decided to start your business here in Korea? How did Korea welcome you?
Very well, I would say. My first business encounter, I think the first project that we got was actually through my dance project. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being a campaign for LG, because I met a producer who I'm very grateful for until day to day, that he believed in us, you know. I met him because he shot a dance trailer of me, uh-huh. and I randomly actually met him, and I just told him, oh yeah, you know, I also do this other thing, like we do visualization. I showed him some of our work. He said, wow, it looks so real. Can you do this for products? I said, yes. And he called me up a week later. Sarah, I have a really big campaign. Can you come? Can we do it? And then we did it, and that was the first step into the advertising industry. And then the first years were like word to mouth, like people were recommending us, and then we got more business relationships. Mm-hmm. I think Korea is very open, to be honest, to try out new things, and they're very fast and adaptive. And when they see a trend, they try it out. They say, okay, we invest in it, we try it. And for that, it's an amazing landscape to be in, because you can really harness your skills in flexibility, in speed, in quality, you know.
Yes.
And was that campaign about 3D virtual space or something else?
Yeah, it was a 3D virtual space. It was actually creating virtual environment for their product, for their home appliance luxury products.
And what do you think was the key for you to get like a, for LG to trust you? Because we were talking before the interview, and something that really impressed me was your passion. And I'm sure that if I ever hire you, you will do everything so perfect, like so perfectionism. And I think that's because of the passion that you spread. Do you think that was the key for them to trust you, or was more like what you show them or any other thing?
We worked with the production partner, so the production director, and we had no direct contact to the company, but they trusted us a lot. And I think that because, you know, the advertising industry in Korea also works with it, like it's very tied together, like the different agencies working together, different production houses working together. It's a very collaborative environment. And so, yeah, we got that trust. And so then the agencies started trusting us, you know, because he trusted us. And but at the same time, yeah, we have a really good quality of work, and we never compromise on that quality. For us, it's the most important thing that we deliver the best creative work along with the best quality.
Yeah, it's because I feel that maybe when I'm hiring someone, if they do a bad job, I'm gonna feel bad as the company who is hiring. But I feel that if I ever hire you, you would feel bad if you did a bad work, so you would never do a bad job about it. Like, you will always do it great. And also, this is a whole topic, and we could talk about this for hours. But the fact of being a woman in Korea, especially, it's sometimes not that easy. Like, there are some statistics that only the 5% of women are in business positions or high positions. So how was for you, like, what's your experience being a woman? Is something that has been a barrier to grow, or on the other hand, you didn't feel it that much?
I never thought about gender inequality that much, actually, in my whole journey. You know, I think this is a topic that's becoming more present nowadays. And so that's why I think I never really felt that I had a disadvantage. But at the same time, yes, I realize there is a gap. You know, I realize that, especially I think from older generations and higher ranking positions, there may be situations where they wouldn't address me in a meeting, but they would address my co-founder because he's a male. So I would present something, and then they would ask my co-founder the question. And but it's so weird because I never felt intimidated by it or something, you know. I just was like, hey, hey, like, I take the decisions, you know. You can talk to me. And then I think, yeah, so I feel like, yeah, maybe the younger generation is becoming more open. And yeah, I had situations where I look back and I was like, oh yeah, maybe, you know, that is still very new thing, you know, having a 20-year-old younger woman come into the room and present their company. It's not so common. Yeah,
and I think it also depends a lot on the character of the women that is facing these type of problems. Because as you said, you have a strong character and you have self-confidence, so you're able to confront these situations better. But it's true that some women or some people in general are not that confident. And this type of attitudes or situations can really bring them down.
It can. And I had also another kind of difficult situation once in a meeting where, you know, a person would actually refer to my, you know, to my sex as female to be present at a meeting because I could persuade somebody else. And that was a direct comment, you know, but then I realized, okay, I could totally obsess about this thing and be totally angry about it. But then you also have to realize, I think, that this has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with me. It is your view on the world and on society and how that has shaped you for the last decades, you know. Mm. And I think that just what is important is just to say no, you know. Mm-hmm. I can be there. I can be there because I have a decision-making power over my company, and it has nothing to do with my, you know, gender.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I encourage all women just to focus on themselves and not have these kind of comments or any situation like this throw them off, because it can be a punch in the face. But you can still stand on your two feet and still go on with your day, and mm-hmm. And you can decide whether you want to do business with a person or not too. It's all in your power. So mm-hmm. yeah, I can empower everybody on trusting their guts and trusting themselves.
Yeah, that's amazing. And we hope that this changes with the time. We know that it's changing. It will take some time, but we hope that it will soon. Maybe going more about your company itself, like what do you do and how do you do it? When you work with some brands and everything, how is the creative process between you both? How do you understand their purpose, their objectives, their style, to be able to do the campaigns according to that?
Hmm. So, of course, we have an initial meeting. When a company or brand approaches us, it's really to find out what is their end goal. Mm-hmm. What is it that they want to do? And on what mission is this brand? You know, because every brand has, especially the stronger like luxury brands or also the premium brands, they have a very strong brand identity. And every marketing initiative should probably builds on that brand identity. So for us, it's really what is the specific campaign about? What are your KPIs? Who's the target audience? Where do you want to launch the campaign? What platforms? Is there any other initiative that is going on with that? Or is it just to raise awareness? You know, so mm-hmm. It's really to get a big picture of it. And also, I think we're maybe then understanding also where do they visually want to take it, you know, what feelings do they want to bring into their campaign? Because in the end of the day, visuals have such a strong ambience. Mm-hmm. They can create an entirely different mood depending on what the intention is. So we basically then have a canvas, you know, and we bring in everything together. We try to incorporate and justify every single design choice. We say mm-hmm. we are using this color because it promotes these emotions, these feelings. We're using this architectural structure because it will guide them in a certain way visually. We are placing the product that way so we can bring in more attention to it. Yeah, so it's like it's a bit hard to describe it in words, but it's really like looking into the details and the finer details of how do we want to bring this to life.
And is it challenging to balance their brand identity with their design?
That's a very good question. yes, I think for the brand identity, maybe not so much, but more for the stakeholders' interests as well, mm. because they, of course, they have their expectations. And so we have to find a good balance between the artistry that we want to convey and their objectives. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a very collaborative effort. In the end, we are sort of like an extension to their team almost at times, where we give them solutions and we are really looking into, okay, if this doesn't work, how can we do that, you know?
Okay.
So,
That sometimes technology limits your creativity or mm-hmm. the image or like the purpose that you have in mind, that you want to do something, but the technology doesn't allow you to do it.
I think it depends on what it is. When we talk about creating virtual spaces for images and video production, mm-hmm. Because you have to imagine you go not to a physical photo shoot, you do everything virtually.
Yeah.
We create an entire set in virtual reality and bring in the product. There are no limitations. We can be very creative. We can be, you know, absolutely... We can play with gravity, you know, we can distort the reality almost in that sense to make it more enticing than when it would come to a digital brand experience. I think there are currently, maybe some limitations because it depends on what technology you're using at the end of the day. But generally speaking, 3D design gives you super, like, a lot of creative freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's the awareness of brands on using this type of 3D technologies? Mm-hmm. Do they actually know this is like part of their plan on marketing, or do you actually have to explain them and show them the value?
I think they are familiar with 3D, but I still have to explain them a lot about the value still. You know, it's still, there's a lot of education to do, mm-hmm. Even though they're familiar maybe with 3D campaigns.
But maybe virtual spaces not that much, no?
No, yeah.
Like, to creating a whole set of, like, virtually, maybe that's something that I never heard before, for example. Mm-hmm. So I believe that there's a work of educational, yes.
Yeah, yeah, definitely there is. And on the processes, maybe, and then also, but also, you know, how convenient it is. I think that until they try it out, they're maybe also, you know, I don't really know if this is, you know, for us, but then they try it out and they're like, they never want to go back because it's such a great process. You can edit until you publish, you know, and you have so much flexibility as a brand, and it makes things a lot easier and faster as well.
And is there any like leading companies that are using this technology like more frequently?
I think, I mean, yes, our technology is widely used in, of course, also in the gaming industry, in different industry, all evolving around 3D. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there are a lot of, you know, 3D industry is a very emerging industry around the world now, especially with the metaverse and everything.
And what are some of the challenges that this technology have or this type of process?
The challenges, I would say, I mean, you still need a very high skill set in operating these technologies. You know, you have to be a 3D artist or a generalist or somebody who can specifically, work with this technology to create a super beautiful result. But it's a perfect example of bringing the latest technology together with your creativity to create something. And then, you know, there's different types, like, for example, people who create only animations, people who are only very good in 3D modeling or 3D texturing. Some are very good in design. And so, a lot of, you know, there are a lot of different specialists that come in.
How is your team structure and how did you build it? And also, what do you look when you're hiring someone, even if it's external, like outsourcing it, but what do you look at them?
I always look at the creativity and also I think at the ability to learn new things because our technology or the industry is evolving very fast and there are always updates to the technology and softwares that we're using as well. And then, we are structured between design team purely and then project management and client relations and then the operation part So that's mainly it. But I also very much look at the skills of people, how realistic they can recreate, you know, scenes in 3D, because that speaks for the quality, right? If we can make it photorealistic or lifelike, that's what we really pay attention to.
And especially your role, as you were mentioning before, is also related to sales and management. Do you also put some inputs into the creative part or not?
I would say I would come in more from the marketing perspective. Uh-huh. So, of course, because we're a small team, you know, I'm always there at the presentations, at least at the first one, just to listen, because I love, you know, I love how the team is putting all of these, the initial idea and make something out of it. Mm-hmm. It's literally these 30 pager presentations that we give to clients, like a whole story that goes through the entire space, you know, with previews, sketches, mood boards, and it's beautiful. And then I would give my input sometimes in terms of, you know, just connecting the dots, for example, or from a marketing point of view, how I would do it, thinking about the consumer.
Mm-hmm. And for us, it's also really impressive how much do you know about marketing and creativity and everything with the background that you have and being a dancer, no? Mm-hmm. Like all of this, you learn it through this journey. Also, we were reading one article one presentation that you did soon about consumer trends and this new digital current age. What are some of the specific trends that are occurring nowadays? And also, how do they connect with the VR world and the 3D design?
So our technology, our visual trend, no, for 2023, basically what we did, we looked into the consumers, Gen Z, MZ generation, and what drives their behavior, their values, and what do they really believe in. And we found that, for example, there is a big conscious buying behavior on committing maybe to brands that are really committed to sustainability, for example, you know, to making the world a better place. Mm-hmm. Or others, are more driven on self-expression. And so how we did it was we created some, we draw from the design industry and the fashion industry visually what the trends for next year are, and then we connected them with our own concepts behind it. For example, natural surrealism, mm-hmm, is one of the trends, and that speaks especially more to the eco-friendly buyer, and you can visually convey that you're committed to it and still have it in a sophisticated and luxurious way as well. Mm-hmm. So that's, for example, with white tones and green elements in the scenes. Mm-hmm. And we can recreate everything in the 3D virtual space.
Yeah, I think that's the magic, that you can literally do whatever you
anything,
want.
Yeah.
Anything. Yeah. Anything. It's possible. Mm. And yeah, that's great. I was checking the presentation and I love this trend. And I think, mm-hmm, it's completely true of like nature and how we love seeing like plants and green things inside. Also some products and everything like that. That's like a current trend, right? And it's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's how we connect with the audience, mm-hmm, visually, because visuals are still the first touch point,
yeah,
in a digital era. So, mm-hmm, that's very important.
Yeah, and related to that, mm-hmm, I think one of the most interesting things that this technology can bring for brands are the first touching point that are websites, mm-hmm, and how, mm-hmm, they can be interactive, how they can be personalized for each person that enters in each website. Can you explain us a little bit more about that?
For now, we cannot personalize it so much for every person, mm-hmm, who can enter. But for example, there has been a huge trend in creating VR spaces on the web. Mm-hmm. Last year, we also did three for some cosmetic luxury brands in Korea. And another thing is taking the gaming technology onto the web and packing it as a web, or streaming it to the web. And it's beautiful because you basically, instead of having 2D UX UI, you have everything in 3D, and you can move through the space and discover the brand through, like, architectonically, and you're almost immersed by it, which is beautiful. And then you can add a layer of interaction to it too. You know, you can, mm-hmm, have different things like pop-ups, information about products or their brands. You could also tie the entire experience to a marketing event, or, you know, you can interact with products more seamlessly, mm-hmm, as well. And VR spaces on the web are not so, I'm a little less fluid because you're moving from point to point in the space, but then, for example, gaming experiences on the web, you can literally walk through in third person, which is pretty amazing.
I think it's a completely different experience for a customer before when they engage with a brand.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also we saw some videos in your LinkedIn. You, mm-hmm, you put some posts and it's super engaging, like, actually. I don't know exactly what was the post about, but I think it was like a house also. Like, this technology can be used to see houses, how they're going to look at before you actually buy it, and you don't have to go there. So it would be like a similar thing for a website as well, right?
Yeah, I think for brands, they can leverage this now. They can actually recreate a digital experience, in 3D, and it's maybe more fantasy-like. But I think also probably real estate market. We are not in the real estate market, mm-hmm, but I think the architecture industry and real estate market will make big use of it, I think, in the future, because it really gives you the opportunity to, look at your future house, you know, in a 3D, yeah, 3D sense and not only 2D.
And how does this flow into the metaverse world and all this new trend of the metaverse? Is it too soon? Mm. Are you still, are you already preparing for it? Or
It's very early. I think there are a lot of tech companies building. Of course, Meta is one of the companies that are building these these platforms like Horizon, and there are new startups emerging now. Just yesterday, I found another startup that is creating these immersive environments on the web. It's only one part of Web3. It's not completely the full picture, but metaverse, yeah, people refer to the virtual space and to interactive experiences, making the web maybe more immersive and 3D-like and interconnected, and maybe even decentralized, with blockchain and so on. So it's a very big topic to speak about. But I believe that still the website as we have them today might change into more immersive experiences. Mm-hmm. If our technology, the hardware technology, advances more quickly, because right now, in order to bring anything super fluid on the web, you need a lot of optimization from also the 3D side, from the 3D production side as well.
So with the digital experience on the website, like you mentioned, like how are they shaping the new customer journeys?
It changes, yeah, because we have a full discovery that is not flowing vertically in a sense, but forward. So and then also some of the experience are very beautiful. I've seen very artistic things out there, which looks beautiful. But then for me, what I've also noticed is that we have to pay great attention on the architecture itself. Where does the journey start and where do we want the customers to end? Mm-hmm. What are the touch points in between, and how is this journey purposefully designed so it really brings the best interaction and impact for both, for the brand, but also for the consumer? And if you think about architecture in the real world, mm-hmm. how spaces are designed, they are designed with a purpose. With a purpose of where to interact, where to, where to work, and it also shapes society. Architecture shapes our society, and I think it becomes very relevant when we talk about these digital experiences. And the blueprint has to be laid out in a way mm-hmm. that people don't feel lost in the experience. Because I also have seen some experiences where you just go in and you don't know what to do. Yeah. You're literally just there. And you're like, okay, where do I go? And so there has to be some kind of guidance through design, through mm-hmm. thoughtful design, and then also the marketing aspect of interactions at the right place.
And how is the current picture of your company right now? What are you working on? What are your future plans as well?
So right now we're working on some cool campaigns. Actually, some very new projects. Like, I cannot talk about it yet, but they're going to be out in February. Which I would love to share with you.
Soon.
One is creating a stage and a virtual stage for an interesting project, which is, I cannot talk about it.
Right, just leave it more here.
Yeah, I cannot. And then the other one is like a campaign as well, with mixed reality, which is very nice. And then the third one, I can talk about it finally, because that is our internal project. We're working on a digital experience for VSLB, basically bringing our philosophy into a 3D virtual environment on the web where mm-hmm. you can walk through and you can discover what we do. And it's a little gamified
on your website.
Experience. Yeah, we're working on it.
When will it be ready?
I hope by the end of February we are.
Okay. That's really soon.
It's soon, yeah. But we have to. So it's basically we do these projects to do our own R&D and mm-hmm. to really, get our hands on the emerging technology and see how realistic can we get the things mm-hmm. on the web mm-hmm. if it's a 3D virtual space.
Whoa. And apart from these upcoming projects that you cannot mm-hmm. talk about, what's your vision for this company in the future? Like in 5 years, how would you like to be, and what do you want to do with this?
Oh, 5 years. I think I would love us to bring some digital experiences to the real space, and that is working with galleries together and creating artistic experiences or art experiences that where we can bring our feelings in mm-hmm. and where people can escape to. and have an immersive experience with the best sound quality, with the best visual treatment, you know. And so that is a dream actually of ours that we have. It's a passion project, but we need to, ways to finance it. I think that is what we want to do. But also we are working on empowering more 3D creatives all around the world, and creating 3D spaces with them and making their creativity more accessible to brands. Mm-hmm. Because I think as a collective in the 3D industry, there is so much potential that brands, also the world of advertising, hasn't discovered yet. And ultimately, we all want to live our creative freedom. And so we're building a gateway now. Mm-hmm. We're in the early stages of building a gateway between
and
two industries.
Who are your customers? Do you just work with Korean companies or do you also work with global companies? Like if someone here listening would like to hire you, is it mm-hmm. possible or just Korean companies?
No, absolutely possible. Uh-huh. We are a company where you can virtually access anything you want from anywhere you are. So
this is magic. Like you can do anything you want.
You anywhere you are at any moment. Yes. And so, yeah, we have clients in France, in the US, and also in Korea, and new customers coming in from Germany soon. Mm. And so we are, yeah, global and available to work with anyone from any time zone.
That's so cool. Yeah. Like if you want to check it, you can go to their website. It's VSLB. And they have
VS-LB.com.
They have a super cool website. You're going to love it. And you're going to get in love with this. And I think this is really inspirational for all the artistic people mm-hmm. who have this insecurity of starting a business because they think it's going to be something super different, that they are not worth it for it. I think your example is such a great example of how mm-hmm. actually it's possible and actually you can discover a new passion and how to combine this creativity and this business world together to make something even better. So we are really thankful that you came here today. It was an amazing episode. It's great.
Yeah, it's such an inspiration for all of us.
Yes. For us, it's also like a challenging thing because we don't know that much about creativity and art. Mm-hmm. But it was really nice to listen about it and we got really inspired. So we really hope that in the future, maybe you can come back and talk about your new projects that are more secret and share it with us. But yeah, thank you so much, Sara.
Thank you so much.
Now, before we closing the interview, there's one question that we always ask our guests. Mm-hmm. It's like, is there any source of learning that you would recommend to our audience, like a book, a podcast, or like a YouTube channel or whatever?
Oh.
Something specific.
Mm-hmm. Something specific. Okay, yeah. I'm just going to give you my recommendation for a book that I'm reading. Uh-huh. And it was actually recommended by a really good friend of mine.
And what is it about?
It's actually about unlocking your creative genuine.
Okay.
Genius, not genuine. Creative, genuinely. Genius, your creative genius. And it's really finding your true, you know, what you're not only passionate about, but, you know, to live these creative moments all day and to dedicate yourself and fully commit to them. It's mm-hmm. called The Genius Zone.
Okay. We will put it in the description as well.
By Gay Hendricks, yeah. Uh-huh.
And you also mentioned that you love podcasts. Is there anything specific, any podcast that you are getting inspired with?
Yes. Beautiful Misfits uh-huh. from Mary Porters. She's from London and UK. And her podcast is very interesting too because she talks about kindness in business and mm-hmm. and yeah, and empowers a lot of people around the world. She has an amazing agency in London and talks to a lot of generations.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And see you
for
next
having me.
Episode.
Really appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
If you want to keep updated on the Korea startup ecosystem, don't forget to follow us. And if you have any question or you would like to participate in one of our interviews, send us an email to koreastartuppodcast@gmail.com. See you next week.